everybody, and happy new year. It's been a 007 back after an extended hiatus when I went to Australia to watch England get hammered at the Ashes, which is cricket, a sport. If any of you don't know what that means, please go and investigate, because it really is the reason for existence. However, I have licked my wounds and I'm back in the Cineplex to cover some movies. So today it's a 10-minute movie review of Martin Scorsese's much-anticipated, much-hyped movie, The Wolf of Wall Street, which stars Leonardo DiCaprio as the real-life crook Jordan Belfort. And this guy is hilarious. He basically started off as a stockbroker in the late 80s. And then realized he could make a lot more money working out of some schmucky strip mall, basically flogging worthless companies to people who didn't know any better. You know, he was conning blue-collar workers out of their hard-earned cash and investing half of their money in companies that were never going to do as well as he was promising, and really just out-and-out pocketing the other half of that cash. He then kind of takes his scam upmarket and puts on the cover of an august Wall Street firm, but is running the same scam, but this time on richer people. The guy's getting money hand over fist. He's smuggling it out to Switzerland to secret bank accounts. But really, this movie is not interested in any of the mechanics of how he's making the cash. It's interested in how he's spending it. And boy, does he spend it. There's yachts, there's hookers, there's egregious drug use. I mean, this guy was smoking crack, taking cocaine, quaaludes, just the full works. And what this movie is really interested is in the physical comedy of that and the relationship between Jordan Belfort, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, as I said, and his sidekick, played by Seth Rogen. And really, if you just go and watch this film for the comedy, for the wonderful physical comedy, I mean, seeing these guys... There's a scene early on when they're just sort of rookie stockbrokers where they're smoking crack behind a restaurant and then they sort of skip and gamble into the car lot like little naughty school children. That's absolutely hilarious. And then there's another scene almost 2 hours later, really, when these guys are now kings of the world. You know, they're in Jordan's fantastic mansion and they're taking these kind of super quaaludes and... They kind of go into muscle spasm and they can't speak, they can't control themselves. And they're having this massive fight in the kitchen, which is just, it's hilarious. And on top of that, you know, this is definitely the era of Matthew McConaughey. Every single thing he does is magic. And he has a very small cameo in this movie early on where he plays the sort of the Gordon Gekko type stockbroker who introduces Jordan to the world of Wall Street. And he is just hilarious. So for all of that, for Matthew McConaughey, for the, you know, the way in which Martin Scorsese does these wonderfully high energy scenes of greed, this movie is worth seeing. Because no one shoots excess and hedonism like Scorsese. He luxuriates in it. There's nothing too crazy. And as we all know from Goodfellas and Casino, he will synchronize the music, he will give you that pumped up adrenaline and capture that gonzo craziness like no other. However, I think that where this movie fails is that, you know, this is a 3-hour film and ultimately you just want something more profound than just seeing basically Wall Street frat house comedy. I wanted to see what was the impact of this on Jordan's wife, on his kids. I wanted to see the impact on the people that were being scammed. And I wanted, most of all, to see the impact of this on the interior life of Jordan Belfort and his sidekicks. And maybe they have no interior life, and maybe that is the point that this movie's making. But it all just seemed so clean. I mean, you know, when Jordan packs up his first wife, who's a bit earnest and a bit unsure about the dodgy business practices, it's clean. It happens like that. We don't see the impact. And similarly, you know, when this movie decides to get a conscience and decides to get some profundity about 25 minutes towards the end, it becomes powerful. I mean, there is a scene, a dramatic scene between Jordan and his second wife, played by Margot Robbie, that is absolutely, it's so nuanced. There's so much going on in this sex scene, this dramatic scene. And I wanted more of that because that is really ultimately the stuff that makes a great film. That is the stuff that we're going to remember 20 years from now, if at all. But it just came too little too late. And ultimately, yeah, it's fun seeing these guys take too many drugs and fuck a bunch of hookers and, yeah, But I can't do that for 2 hours and a quarter. I really can't, no matter how funny, no matter how good it is. It just becomes dull. And I just feel that Wolf of Wall Street becomes a little bit of a cookie cutter Martin Scorsese movie in that respect. You know, it's just like Casino. You have this guy, the sudden rise to wealth, the hot wife, the doofus sidekick who kind of is involved in the downfall, hubris nemesis, right? I mean, that's just how they all go. Where is the personal growth? Not just for Jordan Belfort, but for Martin Scorsese. And then finally, I guess the other thing that kind of bugged me about this film is that it doesn't really make any major attempt to explain what Wall Street is and what the scam is. Every time it starts, basically, because there's a lot of winking at the camera here, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio hero breaks the fourth wall. He talks to us all the time because he's charming us. He's pulling the same con on us as the audience that he pulls on the people that he's scamming. And he says, every time he starts to explain it, he says, oh, well, you don't really care about that, right? You don't understand what I'm saying. Let's just switch back to a scene of us taking drugs and throwing a dwarf at a wall. And I find that on one level, that's kind of, it's interesting that Martin Scorsese has obviously taken the artistic decision to let Jordan Belfort scam us. But it's also as patronizing by extension towards us, the audience, as Jordan is towards his con victims. Because what Martin Scorsese is basically saying is, you aren't interested in the mechanics of what was going on Wall Street. You wouldn't understand it even if you were, so why should I waste time explaining it to you? Let's just cut back to the drug taking. So in some respects, I actually find this quite an offensive film in that respect. And my final kind of quite snarky gripe is, you know, I was reading the production notes of this movie before it started, and they make a lot of the fact that the screenwriter, Terrence Winter, who is involved in The Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire, so very, very talented guy, that he actually did have a background on Wall Street, so obviously he can bring some authenticity to this script. But if you're going to show me Black Monday and show the tickers at the end of the day, so what happened to the stocks that day, and have them all in green when they should be in red because the stocks plunged, that's the whole point of that crash. What it shows me is that you're not really interesting in telling us anything about Wall Street. This is just Casino in Manhattan and Long Island rather than in Vegas. And if you go in and you expect that, then you're fine. But I really do think that the title of this movie is a bit of a con in itself. So with that, I guess a rather negative review. I mean, I should emphasize, I still think this movie is worth seeing because of those comedic set pieces that are so superb. But there are longer in between them, so just be prepared for that. But if you've seen this movie and agree or disagree with my take, then feel free to leave a comment at the blog, beena007.com. It's good to be back. I hope that you'll pick up listening to the podcast again, and have a great day. Wow. I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so
rumpa smooth skin. You say you wanna get in my bins? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing, to hell with romance, and she's sweat, wet, got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines, saying flat butts all the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She gotta pack much back. So, fellas,
yeah,
fellas,
yeah,
has your girlfriend got your butt?
Hell
tell
yeah.
Her, shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake
it,
shake that healthy butt. Baby got ballet. The Wolf of Wall Street is rated R in the USA and 18 in the UK for very strong language, strong sex, and drug use. The movie has a running time of 180 minutes. It's already on release in the USA and opens in the UK on the 17th of January. You can find a full schedule of release dates at the written review at beena007.com. Music for today's podcast is taken from the official soundtrack, available in all good record shops if any still exist, but also on iTunes. Thank you for listening.